This morning on WCHL, free land for the school district at a Chapel Hill development site may not be so free.
I don't want to be a political pawn, and I don't want to get into it.
Sirens and text messages will test UNC's emergency alert system today, but is that the quickest way timely messages are spread on the Carolina campus?
We're not a professional alert system. We just have the benefit of social media.
And yesterday marked 1 year since Ellie Kinnaird's resignation from the state Senate, and she says she has no regrets. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, 10 days remain until kickoff for Carolina football. Head coach Larry Fedora can sense time is running out. And
there's a 9,000-pound nonprofit gorilla in every NCAA meeting room.
That's this morning at our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
707, 71 degrees in Chapel Hill, 70 this morning in Carborough, also 70 in Hillsborough. It's the beginning of a really warm day, hot today in the upper 80s, partly sunny, a 30% chance of rain later on in the day. Same goes for tonight and tomorrow, even warmer with a high in the low 90s. Chapel Hill Carborough school board members say the offer of free land to build a school at Obie Creek may cost more than meets the eye. At a school board meeting last week, Ben Perry of East West Partners offered the district either 15 or 25 acres on the 120-acre Obie Creek site to build a new school right across from Southern Village.
We have really no dog in this fight. I mean, we will support whatever y'all want to do with the council. We're not going to put up a fight. This is land that's going to generate no revenue for us either way.
But to put the land to use, the district would need to build a bridge, estimated to cost about $1 million. Steep slopes and environmentally sensitive areas also make developing the site difficult. East-West Partners is in the process of negotiating with the Chapel Hill Town Council on a development agreement that would govern the build-out of the Obie Creek project. The 1.5 million square foot proposal has drawn fire from neighbors concerned about the size of the development and the traffic it might generate. School Board Chair Jamesetta Bedford told Perry she wants to wait until the negotiations with the town have advanced before further evaluating the offer.
I don't want to be a political pawn, and I don't want to get into it, and I don't want to upset my colleagues on the town council. I don't want to upset my neighbors. I don't want to upset county commissioners.
The board was much more eager to consider an offer of property across the street from Chapel Hill High School. The 9.3-acre site there abuts land owned by the district and would more than double the total acreage at the site. Executive Director of School Facilities Bill Mullins said this location offers more flexibility for planning new schools.
It has a frontage on Homestead Road, which makes it very, very attractive. If we were considering an elementary school, high school addition, another district building, who knows?
The price of the parcel has not been disclosed, pending negotiation with the landowner in closed session. Alert Carolina isn't wasting any time testing its emergency messaging system at the start of the school year, but is that the fastest way information is shared on UNC's campus? Alert Carolina will test its text message system and its sirens between 12 noon and 1 p.m. today, just the second day of classes for Carolina students. But one way members of the Carolina campus sometimes get timely warning messages faster is through social media, specifically the Overheard at UNC group on Facebook.
We're not a professional system. We just have the benefit of social media with, you know, 15,000 plus subscribers, so any one person can really post an alert, and then the power of social media can verify whether that's a valid or invalid claim.
That is Ian Helfrick, one of the five administrators of the group and a recent UNC graduate. He says Overheard and Alert Carolina work best when information is shared hand in hand. When that happens, Helfrick says the campus is very accepting of Alert Carolina.
That just provides a sense of security, you know, like the university is really looking out for its students, provides a professional alert system.
However, if messages on Overheard beat Alert Carolina, some frustrations have been made very clear on the campus group.
One of the people who was involved in the incident actually posted first, and that was just a couple minutes before Alert Carolina got out, and it is faster. The trade-off is it's not always the most accurate information, whereas Alert Carolina, you know, when they post something when they send it out to the student body. It is the official university word on what's going on.
He says the limited staff of Alert Carolina compared to the nearly unlimited eyes, ears, and voices of the Carolina community play the leading role in that time difference. In that specific incident, a man reportedly pulled a knife on a student in the student union and fled to Franklin Street. You can see the comment that led to more than 100 comments, 70 or so of which came before the suspect was apprehended. That comment thread is posted in this story on our website, chapelbrew.com. A few students questioned the speed in which Alert Carolina delivered the warning. Helfrich says all the founding members of Overheard graduated a while ago, but that the administrators after them have continued the tradition of an open portal for free-flowing, often fun conversation about anything on campus. Overheard has guidelines that have to be followed in order to remain a part of the group. No ads, promotions, plugs, or inappropriate or irrelevant posts may be posted, according to the group's About section. On Sunday, the administrators sent out a reminder that if anyone breaks the rules, the post and the member who posted it will be removed. Overnight parking fees at UNC have been put on hold. The university's new chancellor for finance and administration, Matt Fajak, sent out an email to faculty and staff last week stating the plan, which was scheduled to take effect August 15th, needed more time to work out any potential issues. That plan called for overnight parking passes as a necessity to park on campus and therefore an associated fee. Many people were outspoken about the change. Some people called safety into question as it could cause the need for people to walk longer distances in the dark if they didn't have a pass. Because of the outpouring of concern, Fajak in his email said further study was needed to make sure the proper questions about alternative transportation, equity, and safety have all been asked. Anyone who's paid for the parking pass will be refunded the money. University employees were given the option to have the fees automatically deducted from their paycheck. Those automatic deductions will be canceled. The parking fees were part of a five-year transportation plan the UNC Board of Trustees implemented in 2011. Fajak said he hopes everyone will participate in further discussions about the plan that will soon become available. Tuesday, August 19th marked exactly a year from the day Ellie Kinnaird announced she was resigning from the state Senate. You will hear from her coming up in just a moment on WCHL. It's 7:13. Time now for traffic and weather together. And this traffic report is brought to you by the Carolina Inn.
Well, when traffic looks this good, it almost makes me feel a little eerie, a little hesitant to say anything because traffic is moving pretty smoothly this morning. And let's keep it that way. Everybody keep your eyes on the road. Keep a good lookout for those taillights because you might see them pop up in front of you. Just the usual morning slowdowns. You might see a few delays on 15501 northbound and southbound, but really nothing bad out there right now. If you do see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
You know me, I've used a lot of adjectives to describe you, but
sure,
eerie is not one of them.
Well, that's good.
that jumps out at me. That's a rather unusual description, but thanks so much.
Well, thank you.
It is kind of scary. The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is where you can savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by executive chef James Clark and his talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Getting hungry, just talking about it this morning. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you this morning by Cruisers. It's going to be a little warm today, but not as warm as tomorrow. Partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, 30% chance of it. High today in the upper 80s. We're starting out at 71 degrees right now. Again, high about 88. Tonight, mostly clear, scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. Only a 30% chance. Low tonight, about 70. Tomorrow, we're looking at mostly sunshine, 20% chance for showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. But our high tomorrow in the low 90s. So definitely a little warmer day on the way for tomorrow. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace serves fresh brewed coffee fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning at Cruisers. Good to go.
Good morning from 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. You're waking up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels.
7:15 at WCHL. Yesterday marked exactly a year from the day that Ellie Kinnaird of Chapel Hill announced she was resigning from the state Senate, a decision that set off not one but two appointment processes, along with a renewed controversy about the extensive use of appointments here in Orange County. Looking back on last year's events with no regrets, Kinnaird stopped by the WCHL studios yesterday and had a conversation with Aaron Keck.
Your announcement last year at this time that that you were stepping down set into motion, again, a sequence of events that lasted a lot longer than I think anyone anticipated. Of course, there was the appointment process to replace you on the state Senate that led to Valerie Fouché's appointment. She was moving up from the state House. That led to another appointment process. This is why Greg Meyer serves in the state House now. Knowing what you know now, looking back on the way things transpired, do you have any regrets? Would you have done it the same way if you knew how it was going to play out?
Well, I was just thinking about that the other day because this anniversary does come up in my mind. Probably the same results could have been predicted. I think that probably Valerie would have chosen to run even if it were an election rather than an appointment. And I think probably Greg would have chosen to run for her position. So I don't think the outcome was any different. And this gave them a little bit of time in those respective chambers so that they can kind of get their sea legs in a new setting. And so I really don't think it would have been any different.
Are you surprised or pleasantly, unpleasantly, either way, with the way that Valerie Fouché has performed in the state Senate and Greg Meyer has performed in the state House?
Well, of course, I knew Valerie in the House, a mm-hmm. very solid, responsible member of the House. She's carried that on in the Senate. The thing is that there's not much a Democrat can do. And that's the sad part. And the really sad part is that at this upcoming election, there are 12 seats in the Senate where no Democrat is running and 43 in the House where no Democrat is running. And you could have gone to every Moral Monday and be mad as heck at what has done been done, and you would not have a candidate to vote for. And mm-hmm. so I think that's the tragedy of all of this, is that instead of a vigorous recruiting and making sure that there was somebody in absolutely every district. Because if you look at the groups of people that were very angry, first of all, you got the unemployed right off the bat. Mm-hmm. You've got the health professionals because they didn't expand Medicaid. You've got women because of those issues. And heaven knows the teachers and poor people who don't have a voice. But nevertheless, they could have voted for somebody. And I think that's the tragedy of all of this. But I think that those that we do have candidates for are solid, and I think we stand a good chance to take those seats back. So I think that Valerie will continue. She's, as I say, a very solid member of the Senate, and I know that she will continue to be, and I don't have any doubts about that.
Again, that is Ellie Kinnaird speaking with Aaron Keck yesterday here at WCHL. Still seems funny to call her former state senator, Ellie Kinnaird. You can visit our website, chapelboro.com, to listen to the full conversation. The public is invited to a meeting with North Carolina officials to comment on proposed rules for the oil and gas drilling method known as fracking. The first of four public meetings is scheduled for this morning at 10 o'clock at North Carolina State University in Raleigh. The State Mining and Energy Commission plans to hold other meetings in Sanford, Reidsville, and Cullowhee. Back in June, the governor signed a law clearing the way for permits to be issued for fracking as soon as next spring. The drilling method involves injecting mixtures of water, sand, gravel, and chemicals to break apart underground rocks to allow oil and gas to escape. The law lifts a 2012 moratorium that blocks permits. It's been criticized by environmental groups. And other environmental news this morning, State House and Senate leaders say lawmakers have reached a compromise on legislation that would make Duke Energy curb pollution from its 33 coal ash dumps across North Carolina. A statement from House Speaker Tom Tillis and Senate President Phil Berger said conferees reached an agreement on Tuesday that would give the state the strictest regulations in the nation. The statement said the legislation would make the state the first to force the closure of all coal ash ponds. The statement said the bill sets a 15-year timetable for closing all unlined coal ash ponds and also eliminates the practice of wet ash disposal. The last version of the bill publicly released last month would have required Duke to remove the ash at four of its 14 coal-fired plants. And in news around town this morning, 2014 marks the 100th anniversary of the outbreak of World War I, and UNC is marking the occasion with a year-long interdisciplinary conversation about the war's legacy and impact. Events begin this month with a multimedia production called Dolly Wiles Picture Show, August 21st and 22nd, that is tomorrow and the following day, in Swain Hall with playwright Rebecca Nesbitt. On August 28th and 29th, UNC will host a two-day international conference called the Five Fronts of World War I, co-hosted by King's College London. And September marks the beginning of a monthly lecture series on the war. That starts on Tuesday, September 16th, with Christopher Clark of Cambridge University speaking on the causes of World War I at 7:30 in Girard Hall. If you'd like more information, you can visit iah.unc.edu, or you can see the story on our website at chapelboro.com. 7:21 at WCHL. Time now for championship sports and countdown to Carolina football. 10 days. UNC football coach Larry Fedora knows time is running out on his preparations for the 2014 campaign. With a sense of urgency and excitement building at the Navy Field practice facility, the Carolina coach is weighing in on a variety of topics concerning the state of the Tar Heels. WCHL's Matt Oakes reports.
With training camp wrapping up and the game plan for week one against Liberty being installed, Tar Heel observers may be wondering who impressed the most in the preseason grind. Coach Fedora says unheralded sophomore linebacker Joe Jackson would top that list.
Joe Jackson has really, if I had to pick out one guy out of the whole camp who has kind of turned himself around, I'd pick Joe Jackson or Sam Smiley, but it'd be one of those two, and Joe's right there.
While young talents like Jackson are hitting the field hard looking to impress the coaching staff for coveted playing time next week, veterans like Ethan Farmer are just hoping to be afforded the chance to suit it up at all in Keenan Stadium. Eligibility issues are a major concern for Farmer, and in turn, the defensive line. Coach Fedora says Farmer being one of a mere six seniors on the roster makes him even more invaluable on the field.
Oh, yeah, that's a concern. That's definitely a concern. And it's a concern for me if any of our guys aren't out on the field for whatever reason. But, yeah, especially when it's a senior and you only have six, scholarship seniors. Yeah, it's a concern. I got a lot of concerns.
Coach Fedora says there may be a silver lining in the Farmer situation. It gives younger Tar Heels a chance to step up, garner more reps, and in turn bolster the depth of the men up front.
I mean, that's something that we talked about as a staff, and we've got to get him enough to keep him going with whatever, so he knows what's going on, which he's a senior. He has experience, so it's not critical that he gets all the reps. It's more critical that those younger guys that we're trying to create some depth there, that they're getting the reps, because there's a chance they may be thrown in there right away, and they have to perform. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We can't wait on them. They just may have to go.
One of the most loaded positions heading into the fall appears to be at running back. With a healthy stable of speed burners and power backs at the UNC offense's disposal, Coach Fedora should be relishing the scoring possibilities in the backfield. But with so many options, who will receive the heaviest load of carries? Coach Fedora says for now, it's still a running back by committee effort.
At this point, it's about getting all of them reps so that they're, we want to keep them as healthy as possible, but also we want them to get valuable reps. I mean, reps that were they're learning something, not just going through the motions. So, we're rolling them. I think Larry's rolling them pretty good. I don't know. For me, I don't ever know who's in there. Don't really care right now. We want to make sure that we're efficient with what we do and we're moving the ball.
One of the pillars of the Coach Fedora regime at Carolina has always been special teams. Last season, return specialist Ryan Switzer basked in the national spotlight for his record-breaking performances. Although overshadowed by Switzer's electricity, punter Tommy Hibbard may prove just as vital to the fortunes of UNC in 2014. Coach Fedora, for one, continues to heap praise on the strong-legged senior from Charlotte.
Tommy's got a good leg, and he knows what we're trying to do, so he understands all of our schemes. Like today, we were working pooch, and we had three live reps, and all three of them he put inside a 10-yard line. He's really trying to make himself the best punter he can be. He understands the situation. It's not just practice. This is critical. This is how we pin people. This is a big play for us. We're eating up chunks of yardage. We're gathering ground, and he knows that, and I think he's taking it to heart. He's doing a really good job with it.
The countdown to Carolina game day sits at 10 days, and the storylines only continue to grow for the Tar Heels as promising upstarts like Jackson emerge, leaders like Farmer await future fates, and reliable special team athletes like Hibbard hone their crafts. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Again, countdown to Carolina football, 10-day season opener, August 30th. Against Liberty in Keenan Stadium. Complete coverage right here on WCHL. It's 7:25.
Archansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
There's a 9,000-pound nonprofit gorilla in every NCAA meeting room. This is Archansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. Ever since college athletics became a big-time business, the tax-exempt status of universities, athletic departments, and foundations that raise money for athletic scholarships has been in question. Now that the athletes will begin getting paid, that notion has become absurd. The NCAA voted recently that the Power Five conferences can make their own rules, one of them being to tack the so-called cost of attendance onto an athletic scholarship. Schools will wind up paying athletes in all varsity sports somewhere between $2,000 and $5,000 each, above giving them the room, board, books, and tuition that a scholarship pays, clearly making them employees. At some schools, that will be upwards to $3 million more added to the annual athletic expense line, and those that cannot come up with the extra jack to stay competitive will undoubtedly drop some varsity sports. The reasons colleges get nonprofit status is because of their educational mission. That becomes a total jock joke when some students are denied opportunities to participate, so the student athletes who bring in the most money get paid. In the other decision, the federal courts ruled in the O'Bannon case that the use of an athlete's image and likeness in any kind of for-profit business is now illegal without paying those athletes, past, present, and future. The ruling allows the NCAA to set those payment limits as long as it's at least $5,000 per athlete. This will cause big businesses like EA Sports to stop making college-based video games, but there are hundreds of other ways athletes' images are used. So the jig is up, as they say, about nonprofit status. The question now becomes, can universities keep their tax exemptions because of their educational mission, while their athletic departments and fundraising arms begin paying Uncle Sam and the IRS big time on revenues generated from mega TV contracts? Schools can't keep paying multi-million dollar coaching salaries and building billion-dollar facilities once their tax status changes and they have to start paying taxes on what their athletic departments make. Ironically, losing their tax exemption will cause a 180-degree turn back in the direction of amateurism. It may take years of haggling in court, but the IRS will be the body that finally reins in college athletics. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Al LeBeau, Cedars member since 2012. Here's what Al had to say.
People wait too long before they go into the retirement community, and all of a sudden they find there's a big, long waiting list to get in. They want to move today, but they should have signed up years ago and gone in. So we tried to cut it off at the pass and go in early before we needed to be there. It's really first-class operation. I mean, the food is marvelous. When we have inclement weather, they will bring meals over to you, and it's just one of those services we find phenomenal. It seems like there's no end to what you can order. Like, if you want two scoops of ice cream, it isn't an extra charge. My wife and I are from the New York metropolitan area, and while we're in Cedars, we are so centrally located, it's just a hop and a skip to the airport. You got great hospitals within easy reach, and of course, there's always the sports activities that you have between, should I mention it, Duke and Chapel Hill.
Thanks, Al. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
Have your office order online from Dickie's today. Now everyone can conveniently order and pay online. With 8 juicy hickory smoked meats to choose from, along with fresh homestyle sides and salads, we will have something for everyone in the office. Order online at dickies.com today. We will have it ready for you when you're ready. Dickie's, where kids always eat free on Sunday and everyone gets free ice cream every day. See web for details. Order online today and pick up in Durham off Mount Moriah Road, Crossroads Cary, or downtown Raleigh in the Red Hat Tower.
Carolina MediSpa is proud to offer the newest technology in laser tattoo removal. It is estimated that close to 10% of the U.S. population has an unwanted tattoo, and eventually as many as 50% of them want to have them removed. There is good news for those who have unwanted body art. New laser tattoo removal techniques can eliminate your tattoo with minimal side effects, and now in as little as 6 treatments. Call Carolina MediSpa at 919-493-3194 to schedule a free consultation.
Today is your last chance for a great offer at OurLocalDeal.com from Oasis at Carmel. It's 50% off, $20 worth of food and drink available now for only $10. Picture the perfect intimate and relaxed gathering spot. Oasis is the place. Located in downtown Carrboro inside Carmel Mall, it operates as a coffee house, tea room, wine bar, and cafe during the day. At night, the space is transformed into an environment of entertainment, connections, and inspiration. It's half off from Oasis at Carmel, and today's your last chance, so buy it now until midnight at OurLocalDeal.com. chapelhill.com.
Hello, this is Mark Kleinschmidt, mayor of Chapel Hill, and you're listening to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Well, thanks, Mayor. 7:30 at WCHL, the beginning of a warm day. Partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. 30% chance of rain. High today about 88 degrees. 71 degrees right now in Chapel Hill. 70 this morning in Carrboro, where it's always a degree cooler. It's going to be a little warmer tomorrow. Tomorrow's high temperature climbing up into the low 90s, so get ready.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
If you are in the middle of the street, you're unlawfully assembled.
Ferguson, Missouri, another night of demonstrations. Correspondent Steve Futterman says 47 arrests were made.
The problems occurred when the march ended. When it ended, there were still maybe 150, 200 protesters still here. And these protesters, for the most part, refused to leave. Police urged them to leave. They gave them warnings. Most of those remaining protesters eventually did depart.
One police captain said last night's level of trouble was down and called it a turning point. CBS's Mark Strassman says a cabinet member will be in Ferguson this morning.
There is a sense here with the arrival of Attorney General Eric Holder that the feds are coming to town, and perhaps that is going to make a difference. Many people in the minority community here believe that Holder and the federal government will bring an added credibility to the investigation and the shooting death of Michael Brown that they have not found so far.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732, 73 degrees in Chapel Hill, and our high today about 88 degrees. A little sunshine, but also a chance of rain later on in the day. I'm Ron Stutz. Chapel Hill Carrboro City School Board members say the offer of free land to build a school at Obie Creek may cost more than meets the eye. At a school board meeting held last week, Ben Perry of East West Partners offered the school district either 15 or 25 acres on the 120-acre Obie Creek site to build a new school across from Southern Village.
We have really no dog in this fight. I mean, we will support whatever y'all want to do with the council. We're not going to put up a fight. This is land that's going to generate no revenue for us either way.
But to put the land to use, the district would need to build a bridge, estimated to cost approximately $1 million. Steep slopes and environmentally sensitive areas also make developing the site difficult. East West Partners is in the process of negotiating with the Chapel Hill Town Council on a development agreement that would govern the build-out of the Obie Creek project. The 1.5 million square foot proposal has drawn fire from neighbors concerned about the size of the development and the traffic it might generate. School Board Chair James Zetta Bedford told Perry she wants to wait until negotiations with the town have advanced further before evaluating the offer.
I don't want to be a political pawn, and I don't want to get into it, and I don't want to upset my colleagues on the town council. I don't want to upset my neighbors. I don't want to upset county commissioners.
The board was much more eager to consider an offer of land across the street from Chapel Hill High School. The 9.3-acre site abuts land already owned by the district and would more than double the total acreage at that site. Executive Director of School Facilities Bill Mullen said the location offers more flexibility for planning new schools.
It has a frontage on Homestead Road, which makes it very, very attractive. If we were considering an elementary school, high school addition, another district building, who knows?
Now, this land isn't free. The price of the parcel has not been disclosed pending negotiation with the landowner in closed session. Alert Carolina certainly isn't wasting any time testing its emergency messaging system at the start of the UNC school year. But is that the fastest way information is shared on the UNC campus? Alert Carolina plans to test its text message system and its sirens between 12 noon and 1 p.m. today, just the second day of classes for Carolina students. But one way members of the Carolina campus sometimes get timely warning messages faster is through social media, specifically the Overheard at UNC group on Facebook.
We're not a professional alert system. We just have the benefit of social media with 15,000 plus subscribers, so any one person can really post an alert, and then the power of social media can verify whether that's a valid or invalid claim.
That is Ian Helfrick, one of the five administrators of the group and a recent UNC graduate. He says Overheard and Alert Carolina work best when information is shared hand in hand. And when that happens, Helfrick says the campus is very accepting of Alert Carolina.
I just provides a sense of security, you know, like the university is really looking out for its students, provides a professional alert system.
However, if messages on overheard beat Alert Carolina, some frustrations have been made very clear on the campus group.
One of the people who was involved in the incident actually posted first, and that was just a couple minutes before Alert Carolina got out, and that's, it is faster. The trade-off is it's not always the most accurate information, whereas Alert Carolina, you know, when they post something, when they send it out to the student body, it is the official university word on what's going on.
Helfrich says the limited staff of Alert Carolina compared to the nearly unlimited eyes, ears, and voices of the Carolina community play the leading role in the time difference. In that specific incident, a man reportedly pulled a knife on a student in the student union and then fled to Franklin Street. You can see the comment that led to more than 100 comments, 70 or so, which came before the suspect was apprehended. That comment thread is posted in this story on our website, chapelbrew.com. A few students questioned the speed in which Alert Carolina delivered the warning. Helfrich says all the founding members of Overheard graduated a while ago, but that the administrators after them have continued the tradition of an open portal for free-flowing, often fun conversation about anything on campus. Overheard has guidelines that must be followed in order to remain a part of the group. No ads, promotions, plugs, or inappropriate or irrelevant posts may be posted, according to the group's About section. On Sunday, the administrators sent out a reminder that if anyone breaks the rules, the post and the member who posted it will be removed. But again, remember, Alert Carolina is testing its text message system and its sirens between 12 noon and 1 p.m. today, just the second day of classes for Carolina students. So if you hear those sirens, if you're anywhere near campus or downtown, don't be alarmed. It is a test of the Alert Carolina system. Overnight parking fees at UNC have been put on hold for now. The university's new Vice Chancellor for Finance and Administration, Matt Fajak, sent out an email to faculty and staff last week stating the plan, which was scheduled to take effect August 15th, needed more time to work on any potential issues. That plan called for overnight parking passes as a necessity to park on campus and therefore an associated fee. Many people were outspoken about the change. Some people call safety into question, as it could cause the need for people to walk longer distances in the dark if they didn't have a pass. Because of the outpouring of concern, Fajak in his email said further study was needed to make sure the proper questions about alternative transportation, equity, and safety have all been asked. Anyone who has paid for the parking pass will be refunded the money. University employees were given the option to have the fees automatically deducted from their paycheck. Those automatic deductions will be canceled. The parking fees were part of a five-year transportation plan the UNC Board of Trustees implemented back in 2011. Fajak said he hopes everyone will participate in future discussions about the plan that will soon become available. Virginia officials are preparing for the possibility that gay marriages could soon be legal in the state of Virginia. The state registrar of vital records is drafting a revised marriage license form that will be used if the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals order ending Virginia's same-sex marriage ban goes into effect tomorrow morning. Attorneys representing a county clerk in Virginia have asked the U.S. Supreme Court to stay the appeals court's decision while it's appealed. Virginia is also supporting a delay to minimize disruptions while the issue is resolved. The Supreme Court has twice granted delays in related cases. Meanwhile, clergy supportive of gay marriage are making plans to be at courthouses throughout the state on Thursday morning to perform marriages for same-sex couples. WCHL News Time 7:39. Ron Stutz here along with Rand Northam, who is just a whirlwind of activity all morning long. Things heating up and things are really busy. If you've been downtown or on campus at all, you know that there's a different pace to the way things are right now.
That is sure, and it is faster.
It's
not slower.
So many people around, and it's the sidewalks are crowded downtown.
That's right.
Students all over the place.
It's great news.
You're seeing a lot of fresh faces. And
yeah.
I guess it's just me, but I swear students or freshmen are looking younger and younger every year.
Well, yeah. That is a fact.
That has more to do with me than it does with them. But it's absolutely true.
Yep.
Anybody who's, got a few years on them knows that to be the case.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're all over the place. So
that's right.
And we're excited to have them here. It really is. It picks up the vitality and the energy of the community, and it's kind of exciting just to watch them.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and one thing that is a sign of is that college football is right around the corner, too.
Yeah.
And I know we're all very excited about that. 10 days, actually, we are away from kickoff.
Yep.
And that means that Chapelboro is bringing back the college football pick'em. You know, I made a promise a week and a half ago that we'd have the college football pick'em back, and I love being able to cash in on my promises.
I love it when you follow through on
that. That's right. Well, it is up. It is time to sign up for the college football pick'em on chapelboro.com. It was a huge hit last year. Mm-hmm. Bunch of prizes that were given away all those who pick right. Or you could play like Ron and be at the bottom of the pack.
No, wait a minute. You got to throw Anthony Wellman in there, too.
Oh, that's right. Thank goodness.
He's the only one that made me feel better because he was always down there with me somewhere.
Well, because I've said all this, I'm sure I'll be at the bottom of the pack this year as well. But the college football pick'em registration is open now. And if you're not able to get to it at the beginning of the season, we do open it each and every week. But we hope that you can play with us all season long, and you can get the grand prize winning at the end of the year, because there will be one of those as well. But each week we will reward at least one person. We might reward more than one person every week, and then at the end of it all, if you do play all weeks, you can be rewarded with that as well. So
we have certificates to some of our great restaurants around here and other stuff to give away. And
exactly.
Of course, we're not playing for prizes.
We're
just kind of playing for fun. And we're issuing a challenge right now.
That's right.
You can beat us in the challenge. So, you know, participate in this thing. It really is a lot of fun, and we keep it updated. And you can go there and check and see how you're doing.
That's right. We do have that celebrity list, like you're talking about, the Chapelboro celebrities. We're not full of ourselves here at all.
But got kind of depressing for me last year.
You can compare to us and see how you're doing.
Yeah.
But also, I want to continue to mention, if you haven't heard already, we've got this great family four-pack available that you can purchase. It's a $100 purchase, but it's a $230 value, because each ticket is actually face valued at $50. But you get them, the four of them, for $100. So that's $200 right there. And then the $30 is a $20 certificate to a concession stand, and then a $10 certificate to buy some kind of fan gear or something like that as well. So $230 value for just $100 to the Liberty game, the kickoff of UNC football. And you can find that on our website, chapelboro.com. Click on the Family 4-Pack logo so you can purchase those tickets.
You know, most of us who live here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, know what it's like to be a part of Carolina football in Kenan Stadium,
sure.
That kind of thing. Really is exciting to be there. But once in a while, I'll run into somebody who says, you know, I've never been to a Carolina football
game. Oh, man.
You got to go. That's what I always say. But this may be your best opportunity.
That's right.
Because it's a big savings. Again, go to chapelboro.com. And you can get it.
Right. Outside of football, real quick, we've got some men's fashion sins. Kristen Tucker writes that. And, of course, there's a picture of a man wearing sandals with socks. That's her A number one, it looks like. Memories of Okinichi Speedway also up. Some great photos from that as the Speedway in Orange County is remembered. And Binkley Barbie's yard sale was fairly recently. I think it was just this past weekend.
It was.
We've got some photos from that as well. We've got the interview from Ellie Kinnaird 1 year after her resignation from the state Senate. That was just a year ago yesterday. We've got that up posted for you. And the Daily Tar Heels editor-in-chief, who we spoke with yesterday here on the morning news, that is Jenny Sherrain. We talked with her, and you can listen to that interview as well. Lots going on our website, chapelboro.com. It's all available with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
Laura Winsel has today's commentary next.
August is the official back-to-school season, so Performance Subaru is joining the old bandwagon with our own back-to-school event. We realize value is of paramount importance. That's why you'll always find outstanding value that extends to the wow experience. Listen to what Scott had to say about his Performance Subaru experience.
I bought my first Subaru yesterday, and my experience at Performance Subaru was great. The salesman, David Hickerson, was professional, knowledgeable, and made the entire process a joy.
Now that's a wow. During our back-to-school event, you can lease a 2014 Subaru Legacy Sedan 2.5i Premium for $229 per month.
Stock number D4662, model EAD02. 42-month lease with 10,000 miles per year. $33.99 due at signing. Payment is plus NC taxes, registration, and $549 dealer admin fee. $0 security deposit based on MSRP of $24,931 and selling price of $23,600. With approved credit, take delivery before 31 August 2014.
Performance Subaru loves to give back to the community, and in honor of our back-to-school event, our nonprofit highlight this month is PTA Thrift Shop. Learn more about their mission at ptathriftshop.org. Visit us at performancesubaru.com, where sales and service specials abound, or visit us in person in Chapel Hill, just a quarter mile off I-40. Wow!
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruiser's. Good to go.
This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know that 70% of the people over the age of 65 will require long-term care? Today, 1 year of long-term care is estimated to cost $75,000, and in 30 years, it will rise to $250,000. The average age of a buyer is 57, when most people can qualify for good health discounts. A long-term care policy protects you in case you lose the capacity for independent living. Call my office at 913-1144 to schedule a complete review of your insurance. This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know?
73 degrees at 746.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Laura Wenzel. The United States has often led the world in creating a fair and open society. This was the first country to guarantee the right to free expression of our spiritual beliefs, for example. However, we also have a legacy of shamefully oppressing and neglecting our fellow human beings, beginning by massacring Native peoples and enslaving Africans, and more recently imprisoning Japanese-American citizens and closing our ports to Jewish refugees escaping Nazis. Today, thousands of children in Guatemala and Honduras face rampant violence, including rape and being forced into gang membership. They are attempting to escape by making a dangerous journey to the United States. The response of our leaders has echoed the worst of our past. Governor McCrory stated that these children pose a threat to North Carolina and should be sent back, and our Congress went on vacation instead of finding a way to help these children. Groups like the North Carolina Justice Center and the North Carolina Religious Coalition for Justice for Immigrants are counteracting the racial hatred behind these responses and advocating for the well-being and protection of these children. We must not turn away these vulnerable people. We learn by now of the spiritual consequences of such an inhumane act. Please urge Governor McCrory and President Obama to provide compassionate relief for these refugees and save our country's spirit. This is Laura Wenzel.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary four-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing and we can say we knew her when. Visit unccchildrens.org.
Trust. In the dry cleaning business, trust is what you expect. Hi, this is Brenda Honeycutt. And for more than three decades, our family-owned and operated business has been earning the trust of our loyal customers. I invite you to find out why so many Chapel Hill families trust their everyday and hard-to-handle items with us. Plaza Dry Cleaners on Elliott Road in the Whole Foods Shopping Center. Plaza Dry Cleaners. Improve your image. Come clean with us.
Morning, it is 7:48 at WCHL, 73 degrees right now, and we're going to check traffic. Here's Rand Norton.
Thank you very much, Ron. Yeah, traffic's still moving fairly smoothly out there. No major accidents, no major delays. You might see the usual morning delays right now as you see those taillights pop up. Be sure to give yourself a little extra time to brake and give yourself a little extra time to travel if you're used to seeing those delays in the morning. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363. You can always tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Talk to you in just a little while here. We're going to turn our attention to the weather now, and we're going to have a little bit of a change coming up in our weather forecast here. The forecast brought to you by Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. It is 73 degrees right now, partly sunny today, scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, 30% chance of that happening. Our high temperature today in the upper 80s, low tonight around 70, still a 30% chance of rain. Then tomorrow, that's when the change comes up. We'll have really hot temperatures, highs tomorrow in the low 90s. Still a 20% chance of a little rain to cool things off. We'll be in the low 90s again on Friday. 7:50 at WCHL. Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace serves the best tasting fountain drinks in town. You might want one this afternoon when it's really hot. They're made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees, guaranteed to taste great. At Cruisers, good to go. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Wayne Pond.
Oh, Big Ron, how are you, pal?
Just fantastic, and I hope you are.
Well, I got a dandy for you this morning here, the word of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Here's a word, believe it or not, Ron, according to the wordsmith, has been in usage in everyday English since the 16th century.
Ah, so you learned it when you were a kid.
when Don Imus and I were colleagues out in at a radio station in Arizona, or no, wait, that was you and Howard Stern were colleagues.
I've heard you talk about that, reminiscing.
All right, anyway, according to the wordsmith, a word that goes back here to the year, believe it or not, 1528.
Mm, wow.
That's one element in the word of the day today, Ron. The other one is this. When you were in school, mm-hmm. did you ever have a teacher raise an eyebrow at you?
All the time.
All the time.
Yes.
Well, believe it or not, that's part two of the definition of our word of the day. The word of the day, Ron, after all that blather, is supercilious. Supercilious. Now, it has a meaning that we can throw around, but it also has an origin, according, again, to the wordsmith, in human behavior. That is to say, when somebody looks at you and raises an eyebrow,
mm-hmm.
that's what supercilious really and truly means. But the way we use it now is as an adjective, somebody who shows haughty disdain for your behavior. When somebody raises an eyebrow and behaves superciliously, does that happen, Ron, my man, or have you left that in your sordid past?
No, it happens once in a while now, but it happened all the time when I was in high school, I can tell you that.
All right, well, let me give it to you here. S-U-P-E-R,
mm-hmm.
C-I-L-I-O-U-S, S-U-P-E-R, C-I-L-I-O-U-S, supercilious. Oh, that's a kind of a toughie, isn't it? There's your word of the day. Somebody who behaves with haughtiness or disdain or contempt. Keep your distance from these people, Ron.
All right. Thanks very much.
Well, all right. And today's therapy will cost you 5 cents. Just put it in the jar on the way out the door there, okay?
We'll do it, buddy. Hey, thanks very much. Wayne Pond's word of the day.
See you in the morning. Bye-bye.
You got it. Wayne's word brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it, and if you could all that, we'll give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. It's 7:53. Clean joke time, ladies and gentlemen, and Aaron Keck is here today. And Aaron, some of your jokes, I've been getting complaints from
mm-hmm.
some folks about some of your jokes.
Uh-huh.
Some people out there that I hang out with,
they just can't
don't really get them.
They can't take
sometimes.
The heat. That's the problem.
Yeah, I think probably it's the people I hang out with.
Yeah, yeah.
Who
yeah.
don't quite get it. Sometimes it takes me a moment, but you know, I get them. But do you have another obscure little piece of humor?
I've got an obscure one for you. This is a music joke, so you'll get this one.
This is a
great music joke, kind of a little bit older than your taste, but I think you'll get it anyway.
Too bad.
Ron, what was Beethoven's favorite fruit?
Ladies and gentlemen, I wish you could see the expression on his face.
Oh man, this punchline is great.
For TV. What was Beethoven's favorite fruit? I don't know, Aaron. What is the answer to that question?
Banana. Banana.
Where in the hell do you get these jokes?
There's one website with a lot of jokes just like this. I'm not gonna give away my secrets.
What is it, AaronKeck.com?
Oh, good God, no. I would not put my name on these jokes ever.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, thanks a lot for lightening up my day.
Not a problem.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Ella Spencer is today's WCHL hometown hero. She's Deputy Clerk of Court for Orange County. Here's Assistant District Attorney Jeff Neiman.
Everybody in the courthouse would say that the great thing about Ella is if you need help with something, she's going to help you with it. And she's not going to throw up her hands and say, that's not my job or anything like that. That's not the way she operates. She's the one who steps up and does it. The reason that I believe she's deserving of the hometown hero is that she does it in such a quiet, unassuming way. You know, the rest of the people in the courthouse, lawyers and judges and law enforcement officers, typically when they do things well, it almost by definition gets attention. The thing about her job is when she is doing her job well, which is all the time, it goes almost completely unnoticed. She day to day is helping move the justice system forward in a way that is just seamless and helpful at every turn, and she's just one of those people that an unsung hero of the courthouse.
And what kind of a person is Ella Spencer?
Very pleasant, very friendly and nice, but mainly what she does is she just does her job and doesn't really expect or ask for any kind of attention or fanfare for it. She just does her job really well every day.
Well, it sounds like Ella Spencer makes everybody else's life a lot better and a lot easier without calling attention to herself, and in some ways that's the definition of a WCHL hometown hero.
Absolutely, that's the case. And there are certain things like, you know, we will forget to get a certain type of paperwork done or not get something done exactly the way it's supposed to be done. And don't get me wrong, her job as clerk is to make sure it's done correctly. But when we need help with that kind of thing, she helps get it done in a way that minimizes the burden on the rest of us. She helps make sure that it gets done correctly, but in a way that helps move it forward as opposed to slowing things down.
And Ella Spencer is the absolute best at what she does.
Her hard work and helpfulness to attention ratio is higher than anybody else I know. Because the role is kind of a quiet role, it's the kind of thing that doesn't get attention very much, and she deserves it because she's doing so much quietly to help make the process work. I mean, I've worked in the courts for 8 years now, and there are a lot of people who do great things. She really just struck me as someone who just that pure, unassuming, does her job, helps the rest of us do our job better, and doesn't really ask for any kind of attention for it. And I'd like for her to get this kind of recognition. I think she deserves it.
Our thanks to the Assistant DA, Jeff Neiman, for the recommendation. And congratulations, Ella Spencer, Deputy Clerk of Court for Orange County. Today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand, we promise.
Well, ring-a-ding-ding, the year was 1936, and Leo and Lillian Goodwin were hot to trot for the world to save some big bucks on automotive insurance. So they opened up a little joint called Geico. Geico had the goods for all the dolls and Joes who were keen on swell service and keeping the cabbage.
Flash forward over 75 years, and Geico is still helping customers save money every day and with 97% customer satisfaction. Today, the peeps would refer to that as pretty darn tight.
Geico, saving people money for over 75 years.
Put on your walking shoes and join the Orange County Department on Aging and the Carolina Association of Pharmacy Students for the 10th annual Aging in Stride 5K Run Walk on Saturday, November 1st. Proceeds from the Aging in Stride 5K benefit the Orange County Aging in Place Fund, which supports services and supplies for frail seniors who have exhausted all other resources. To register or make a donation, please call 919-245-4274 or register online at agingandstride.weebly.com.
Today is your last chance for a great offer at OurLocalDeal.com from Oasis at Carmel. It's 50% off, $20 worth of food and drink available now for only $10. Picture the perfect intimate and relaxed gathering spot. Oasis is the place. Located in downtown Carborough inside Carmel Mall, it operates as a coffee house, tea room, wine bar, and cafe during the day. At night, the space is transformed into an environment of entertainment, connections, and inspiration. It's half off from Oasis at Carmel, and today's your last chance. So buy it now until midnight at OurLocalDeal.com. Bredmans.com.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredmans Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredmans on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
73 degrees this morning. 30% chance of rain later on in the day. Look for some sunshine, but a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today about 88 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 70. Still a chance of rain, but mostly good. And then tomorrow, we're looking at mostly sunshine, warmer, high on the low 90s. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
American journalist beheaded.
This is ISIS's first terrorist attack against the United States.
Protest turning point.
A quieter night here in Ferguson.
Hostages in a Chicago suburb.
We won't rest until those children and two adults are out of their home.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. President Obama's due to make a statement today about new action and threats from the militant group ISIS. Video shows the apparent beheading of American journalist James Foley, who went missing in Syria in 2012. Foley's family confirms it's him in the video, and his mother says on Facebook she's never been prouder of him. CBS's Gary Nunn joins us with more.
Steve, the horrifying graphic video posted on the internet shows Foley wearing an orange jumpsuit, kneeling beside a man with a knife, dressed in black, a desert landscape in the background. Foley reading a message presumably scripted by his captor saying his real killer is America. He's then shown being beheaded, an apparent act of revenge for U.S. airstrikes in northern Iraq. The video ends with the ISIS fighter threatening to kill a second freelance journalist believed to be Stephen Sotloff, who was being held alongside Foley.
Well, CBS News contributor Michael Morrell joins us. He was former deputy director of the CIA when Foley was seized. What do you think the American response will be?
What the terrorists are trying to do here is intimidate us into backing away from the action that we've taken the last several weeks. That is not going to happen. In fact, we should up the tempo of the actions against them to demonstrate that we're not intimidated, in my view.
So more U.S. airstrikes in Iraq?
So continuing the airstrikes, stepping them up, but also starting to go after the leadership. If we are going to degrade this organization and make sure that it does not become a threat to the United States of America, then we not only need to defeat them on the battlefield in Iraq, but we also have to start removing the leadership, just as we've done against other Al-Qaeda elements around the world.
Now, this makes us recall the